good to be here. Good to see many of you again that I've fellowshiped with in the years I've been here. I think I've been here 7 times, but I'm not remember for sure. I have a photographic mind, but it ran out of film, so I can't remember anything anymore. And so we're glad that my wife could be here today. That's unusual for her to even travel with me, and I thank the Lord for her. And don't know how many more the Lord's will give us together, but we'll see. We just love each other, love the Lord. After 63 years of marriage, you still love me, honey? Now, don't think about it. Whatever you do, you may talk yourself out of it. I'm going to turn to three key passages tonight. And the first one is Psalm 26. Then from there, we're going to go to probably Acts 16 and then finish up there in Ecclesiastes 5 tonight. I want you to notice a phrase here in verse 1 of chapter 26. Judge me, O Lord. David is saying this. David is giving us this sermon here. He says, judge me, O Lord, I have walked in my integrity. Integrity is so important in your life, to be honest, to be a man of character. We know David had his problems, didn't he? You have your problems and I have my problems. But I want you, he said, I trusted also in the Lord. Get these words. Therefore, I shall not slide. This chapter talks about how to keep from backsliding. How to keep from backsliding. I want you to know there are a lot of people who were in churches maybe a year ago, even in your church, that aren't there now because they had slid back. And they didn't prepare for that. And he's going to make some statements about backsliding here. First of all, he wants to have a life that's open to inspection. Is your life open to inspection? Look at it here. He's going to make 3 key thoughts here. He said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I literally will not backslide. Now, I want you to know something. Before you know it, you can backslide. It's only a step away from backsliding. You're only a step away. And when you start sliding, it's hard to come back. And I don't know how many people down through the years that I have led to Christ that are not in church today because they have backslidden. And they're content in it. I'm convinced this, if you want to backslide, the devil will give you contentment in that. So he'll say 3 things here. Number one, he says, examine me. Look there in verse 2. Examine me, O Lord. That's the first thing. And then he will say, prove me. And then he'll say, try me. Try my ruin. So first of all, examine me. It means to reveal my hidden sins. Notice what he says here. Examine me, O Lord. Lord, take a good look at me, Lord, and examine me. I want you to be the subject. I want to be the subject of an investigation by God. I want you to reveal any sin that I need to deal with and not to be fooled. How easy it is, you know, if you have that pet sin or if you have that thing, you say, Lord, just leave that alone. I think I'm doing okay, but that particular thing in my life, I know it's wrong. But he said, examine me. In other words, reveal to me anything in my life that is wrong. Sin will do anything it can to fool you in believing that what you're doing that's wrong is okay to do it. He'll do that with you. Sin, I need to deal with it, need to focus on it. I thought about the book of Revelation chapter 3. Just take a moment and go over to Revelation. Now, we're not going to spend any time there, but just go over to the church over there and the 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation. As you look at it, you see here the church of Laodicea. Now, here's the church. These people did not examine themselves on a regular basis. He says here, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, verse 14 of chapter 3, I write these things, that the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. He says, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and I need nothing. I don't need anything. I don't even need God. And they were backslidden. It's one of the churches that was really backslidden. And we see that as you look at it here. And they wouldn't come to the fact, wouldn't come to the reality. They wouldn't examine themselves. I don't know what you'd be, but I have to examine myself pretty regularly. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to get into that lukewarm. As a matter of fact, if I miss a day in prayer or a day in my Bible reading, I get upset with me. I get upset with me. I mean, I do. I get upset with John Stevens because I need those things in my life. But if you say, oh, well, everybody does that now and then, that's a tool for the devil to open the door. So the first thing he says is, examine me, Lord, to reveal anything in my life, to litigate, to make that subject of a total investigation. Then he says, secondly, look there, O Lord, prove me. Prove me. That's the second thing. Now, the first thing he says, of course, is to reveal the hidden sin. Now, to remove the the impurities in my life. Remove those impurities in my life. Listen, we're God's gold. God wants to remove the impurities in our life so that we'll be pure before Him. So remove those things. And if you don't remove them, people can't see God in my life. God can't be seen in your life. So first of all, examine me. Second, prove me, remove. And then notice, if you will, please, here, try me. Look there, the third word. So he says, look, let's look at it here again. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins in my heart. Refine me. I am God's temple, and I want you to refine me. I want to be more like Jesus. You want to be more like Him today? The older I get, more I want to be like Him. You know why? I'm going to meet Him before long. The older you get, you come to that conclusion, don't we? But I'm ready. Are you ready to meet Him? I don't mean just being saved. I mean be right with the Lord and tune with Him. So it was a life open. Is your life open to our inspection? Can God walk up to you and when your prayer say, now, Lord, examine me. If there are things in my life, you tell me what they are, and I'm going to do something about them. Reveal to me, Lord, those things. Remove them, Lord. Refine me. Make me as pure as I can be. So it's a life open to inspection. What is? You don't want to backslide? Have a life open to inspection. Where God can inspect, and He does that through the Holy Ghost, doesn't He? Human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills and takes over. And He'll reveal all the things. I begin to pray, and many times while I'm praying, the Lord says, John, you got a problem with this. You going to take care of it? You ever just get convicted while you're in prayer? Not only a life open to inspection, but if you want to not backslide, He says a life opposing evil. Now look here, if you will here. Look with me in verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Underline that. Boy. I have walked in thy truth. This is truth. This is it. I'm holding it in my hands. This is truth. And I thank God for my Bible. I thank God it's inspired and it's in preserved Word of God today. I hope you believe that. And I'm thankful for it. It's dedicated. I walk in truth. Here he deals with the walk. Now notice what else he says here. Because he's dealing here a life opposing evil. If you walk in truth, you're going to oppose evil. But notice what he says here. Verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissimilars. Now there's a word for you to get down. Dissimilars. Now what is a dissimilar? It's a person, one who takes apart what God's put together. That's what a dissimilar is. It's a person who will tear things apart. I went through, I think most of you know that. When I was in Charleston, South Carolina, our church went through a tremendous lawsuit. People began to gossip about our church. They were members, had money, wealthy. And they wanted things done their way, not God's way. And we said no, so they sued us. You all may know David Gibbs. He handled our lawsuit, did a tremendous job. But with everything involved, it cost our church about $100,000. That's a lot of money. But God took us through it. And they lost. And God won. God won. Now I say that, you got to watch out. Dissociate himself from God about the tongue. Notice he said a dissembler. Now, what do you do that with? I'm not going to stick it out at you, but my tongue. That's my problem. That's their problem. I want you to turn to the book of James for a moment. And turn over there to James, the 3rd chapter. Now, let me say some things about the tongue. You know, at times, I think preachers are just as guilty as anyone else. Preachers get together, and if they're not careful, they begin to talk about somebody they shouldn't be talking about. How easy it is, called gossip. I go over here to James chapter 3. And look there at verse 3. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now, there's some things in that verse I want you to notice. David said, I'm going to denounce my tongue. I'm not going to let it get away with what it thinks it wants to do. You see, the tongue is a weapon of mass destruction. Did you know that? It can be a weapon of national, of major weapon of mass destruction. Notice here in verse 6, the tongue is fire. It will destroy things. A depraved world. A defiled world. A demonic world. That's the tongue. It is a depraved thing that if I don't keep under control is just literally going to create tremendous problems. It defiles and it certainly is demonic. It sets on fire. Notice what it says here. It sets on fire. Look there in verse 6. It sets on fire the course of nature. And where did the tongue come from? An evil tongue. Right from the pit of hell. And so he tells us here, you want to keep from backsliding, watch your tongue. I remember about a year or two now, somebody came to me and I was talking about this person. And I called the person up and I said, I want you to forgive me for getting involved and being a dissimilar. Because that was no good coming in all that. We need to be careful with the tongue. We need to say, if you don't want to backslide, keep your tongue under control. Watch it. It will truly destroy the work of God. So it's not only a life of inspection. If you don't want to backslide, have a life of inspection, but a life opposing evil. When we went through that lawsuit, I mean, the devil had a heyday with the tongue. I mean, he had a heyday. And there were people out of that church who will never go to church again. They're bitter. They're angry. Not at us, but the people who said they were Christians. Said, "I don't. If this is Christians, I don't want anything to do with it." So, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. And it was not only, if you want to keep from backsliding, live a life open to inspection, live a life opposing evil, and live a life overflowing with gratitude. I appreciated what the man who taught the Sunday school class this morning. He was talking about, you know, we've got so much to be thankful for. Praise the Lord. You know, we don't praise the Lord enough, do we? Look over here, if you will, please. Go back to our passage there in the book of Psalm 26. And he says, look at verse 7. Excuse me, I'll get it right here. Verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That's praise. We need to praise the Lord more, don't we? Hello? Praise the Lord. Let's say everybody, when I count to three, say praise the Lord. Ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Didn't that feel good? Huh? I was thinking about, you don't understand, preacher, what I'm going through. I don't feel like praising. Do you ever feel like not praising the Lord? Anybody here besides John Stevens? I want you to go to, there's another passage that I wanted you to go to, and that's Acts 16. I want you to go to Acts 16 for a few moments. When I go to Acts 16 here, the Apostle Paul, if you go over there, verse 25, where's Paul? He's in prison. He's in prison. Now, our prisons are a little different. Even the illegal aliens do better than what Paul did here. But I want you to notice that. And at midnight, let's back up for a moment. Look at verse 24, or verse 23. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, Paul had, we talk about stocks. These are different stocks. That was his investment. His feet were always in stocks at some time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? What did he do? Sing praises unto the Lord. Paul praised. Let me say that praise will witness the presence of God. How do we know that Paul loved God? He was praising him. Now, one of the greatest ways we can witness for the Lord, look there in verse 26. Immediately, suddenly, there was verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God. And the prisoners heard this. Praise will not only witness the presence of God, but praise will work a miracle. All these prisoners were there, all bound. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? Their arms and things were freeze of the prison things they wore. They were freed. And look at verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately doors were opened. Every man's bands were loose. Praise will not only it will work a miracle. I'll get it here. Praise will work a miracle in your life. Paul, they needed a miracle. God performed a miracle. I wonder, does people look at you and are you praising God, thanking the Lord? Say, you don't know what I'm going through. Paul was going through a horrible time. But he was praising the Lord. See, praise will witness. Because the Bible said, and they heard him. They heard them praising God. Praise will
witness the presence of God. It will work a miracle. And guess what else it'll wake up the sleeping. Who's asleep? The
prisoner, the guard, everybody was asleep. You know something? I want to say this kindly as I can. We need to have a Holy Ghost revival in our church services, where people get excited a little bit about God. I mean, get a little excited. You know, it's easier came a fanatic than to raise up a corpse. And what we need to do is just get amen now and then, praise the Lord now and then. It's okay to be a little Baptist-costical in your heart, amen. Just let God know you're praising Him. And you know, we'll just wake up people that are dead. I don't mean spiritually, alive spiritually, but they're asleep spiritually. They're asleep. Their minds are drifting some other place. And it was there. So we see here, praise. We just woke them up. There's a spirit of apathy today. God needs to wake us up out of our sleep, our apathy today. So we see here, now go back to our text there and in the book of Acts. And as you look at it, let's read it. Let's read some other things here. So, verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving to all the wondrous works. I mean, you are one of God's wondrous works. I am one of God's wondrous works. And people need to know about it, so they can become one of His wonderful works. And then he goes on down here. He said, Lord, look at verse 8. Lord, I loved the habitation of the house of Thy house and the place where Thy honor dwelleth. Now underline verse 8 because it's key. Think with me, because he was not only reminding them to live a life of opposition, loss of inspection, and the life that but a life that was ordered by the Lord. I want you to go to another passage with me. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes, Psalm, Proverbs. What's right after that? I want you to go there to the fifth chapter, because I want you to know something. This church is your church, but it's His church. He's going to say some things here. I want you to know, chapter 5 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now notice he's talking about living a life of opposition to wrong things, open to inspection, and now a life of overflowing with praise. Now finally, a life with order in your life. You cannot have order in your life if you ignore the church. Now, I'm speaking to the choir tonight, in a sense, because you're here tonight. But I want you to notice some things, because he's going to tell you in chapter 5 how to come to church. Isn't that something? You're going to tell us how to come to church? Yeah. Because it's out of the Word of God. Notice here in verse 1. He's going to say several things, but I'm only going to deal with a few of them tonight. He says here, keep thy foot where thou goest into the where. This is the house of God. I don't mean these walls is the house of God. I mean you are the house of God, because God indwells you. You can blow this building up. Don't do it now. You'll still have a church, because the church is the assembly of God's people. But when you come here, have order in your life. The order here. I want you to notice here, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. In other words, the sacredness of God's house. This is God's house. Amen. You're God's house. It's a sacred place because you are here. Not sacred because of anything here. It's you. So he says here, keep thy foot when thou goest in the house, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice to fools. What an interesting statement.
See, be ready to hear. God has something to say. God has something to say when the preacher preaches, when the Sunday school teacher teaches, when the choir sings, when the spatial is, when Mike leads the singing, and the pianist plays the piano, Noel. When things take place, you and I are to hear. You're to hear what God has to say through these things here.
He says, be ready, more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know what a fool is? That's a person who is more interested in what he has to say than what anybody else has to say. Don't be a fool. Take very seriously what is said. And they, for they consider they do no evil. Well, what's that referring? That refers to the people who sits in the pew, folds their hand and say, I dare you to try to reach me. You just aren't going to be able to do it because I haven't done anything wrong. Wouldn't it be good if everybody would go to church with the idea, Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Deal with me, Lord, because I have some things that I need to deal with. I wonder if you've ever really did walk down an aisle or one recently. I hope you have. I'm not trying to get people to go down the aisle. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it won't work anyway. But I am convinced today here that they say we don't. Boy, you know, I. Do you ever do this? You ever say, boy, I wish so and so was here that Sunday. Boy, that was quite a message. That person needed it. Anybody here beside John Stevens ever done that one? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, it's wrong. Shut up, Stevens. It's wrong. But be thankful I was here to listen, to hear what God had to say. So he said, they consider they do no evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Be careful what you say. I thought about young Christians. I don't know how many times young Christians might have been discouraged and defeated by the things that have been said in church that they've heard other people talk about. He says here, be not rash, and let not thy heart be hasty to anything before God. Be careful how you talk to God in God's house. Because notice what he says here, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. So he talks about the sacredness of God, the sins we need to see in our lives, and said they don't consider to do anything. Now he says, see the smallness of yourself. Here's God in heaven. Here's little John Stevens, a nobody. Be careful to put the right emphasis on the right person in the right place. Verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitudes of business, and fool's voice is known by the word multitude of words.
You ever daydream? Don't do it in church. Yeah, but I often wonder if while the white women are preparing the meal in their mind, the dads are whether in doing this and do. I don't want to get into all that. But let us understand something. We're here to worship God. That's what it's all about. Then he talks about a vow. Now, I hope you understand that when I say this, that those who came forward and knelt at the altar, they made a vow. If you're one of them, you made a vow before God this morning. You said, Lord, I want some changes in my life, and that's what you need to work on. Let me say that it's not what you do with the vow you made here, is what you do afterwards in fulfilling that vow. He says, when thou vowest a vow, whatever decisions you make when you go to church, defer not to pay it. Be sure to pay it. For he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better, verse 5, is that thou shouldest not vow. You shouldn't make a pledge. You shouldn't make a promise. Thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel who is listening that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice to destroy the works of thy hands? He's saying to us, be careful. I'm not dealing with the rest of it. There's too much there for us. But he's saying, be careful. Now he's saying the sacredness of God's house, the sins we need to see, and the smallness of ourselves and the greatness of God. When you make a vow, when you make a promise, you fulfill that. I must fulfill that. I wonder how many people who have said, I'm going to tithe, quit tithing. I quit quieting one time for about 2 weeks, the most expensive venture of my life. I said, Lord, you know I'm in college. You know I can't afford it right now. You know what I found out 3 weeks later? I couldn't afford not to tithe. Because God just raked me over the coals. I want you to know today, when you make a vow, make it before God. So as we close the service tonight, I think about Psalm 26. I think about these here things he talks about. Examine me, O Lord. Reprove me. Refine me. Lord, let me praise you. And I pose. I don't want to be a dissimilar. Thank God I don't want to be one. So don't be one. Then I thought about Paul in prison. I don't know what kind of voice Paul had. I have a terrible singing voice. I'll never forget the time when I, last service to the church in Charleston, I just retired. And so they said, we want you to sing a special tonight with Crystal Fox. Now, this woman, girl, has a beautiful voice. I said, no, all you're going to do is make, we'll do it anyway. So I did it. I'm obedient. And I got halfway through the song, not even quite half, and she broke down and started laughing. I turned to one of the guys on the platform. I said, wasn't I on key? He said, many. But I want you to know something. I can praise him in here. It may not be on key, but I can praise the Lord in song. Sing out when Mike leads that singing. Join with him. Then I see here, when you go to church, remember, it's a sacred place because you're meeting with God's people and God is meeting there with you. Where two or three are gathered together, what? There am I in the midst of them. God wants to do something. It is there that you need to listen. Focus your attention on what God wants to say. Father, tonight, it's good to meet with these people, blessed people. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray tonight as we conclude this service, you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I look at Psalm 26, so I focus mainly on that psalm first. And Lord, let's not be a dissimilar. Help us, Lord, O God, to be careful, to oppose, be open to it. Lord, could we say tonight, I want to be open to your inspection. Whatever you want to show me, I'm willing to listen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, could you say tonight, Lord, I'm willing to let you reveal to me any and all things that I are not right in my life. And I want you, Father, to deal with my heart tonight. I want you to show me. Are you really to tell God tonight, I'm willing to let him examine me. I want him to. I plead with him and reveal to me. If that's you tonight, would you just quietly lift your hand up and say, I'm going to make a commitment tonight. I'm going to do that. Now, I'm not asking you to come forward on that. But I want you to make a commitment where you are and say, dear God, I'm open to that. Show me. Reveal to me. Lord, I oppose. How many here tonight, I've had to raise my hand on this before. I've gotten involved in an evil report. I've listened. Maybe you've listened to an evil report lately and God's been dealing with you. And tonight you say, God, deal with my heart tonight. Not let me be a dissimilar. If that's you, would you lift that hand up and say, God's dealt with me tonight? I need to deal with that. What about praise? Are you praising God for His all the things that He's doing in your life? Or are you too busy complaining? Let's all stand together as Mike comes and leads the song. If you need to find an altar, feel free to do that. But let God speak to your heart tonight. You're here not because it's just Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday, S-O-N, the sun's day. I'm glad to be here. Glad you're here. Thank you for being here. But if there's something you need to deal with, don't leave here. You know why? Because God is in heaven and He's listening to everything about you. It's about me. Mike will lead us in a closing hymn.